Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, so Patreon listeners see the video, and then so for the Shift listeners, we are welcoming back Sabine Sadiq. Thank you so much for doing the podcast today.
Of course, anytime.
I thought it would be fun for maybe to talk about Bridgerton a little bit, and I know like for the guys, you're like, oh, we don't watch it, but still, we're going to have chats about it. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Do guys really not watch it?
I don't know. Maybe. I was at the comedy club tonight and Emilio was talking about it, but I don't know if he was talking about it as if you watched it. He was like talking about how the office was so full of chatter from the women when Bridgerton comes on.
Bridgerton's like romance novels in a show. So I feel like that's a very woman category.
Yeah, that's actually so interesting. It is romance novels.
Yeah.
In a show. I watched the whole... And then also as well, we might cover this other article I saw that said like, oh, casual sex is ruining lives or something. It doesn't say that. I didn't actually read it yet.
Well, it kind of reminds me of reading that book All About Love. And it's kind of saying how, well, it's saying that our society is lacking love in general.
Okay.
So I don't know if casual sex has to do with it or.
Okay. So we will cover that because we'll probably just chat about Bridgerton for a little bit. There's not a lot to talk about with it. Like, I mean, I love it. It definitely wasn't season two, wasn't porn for me. So you know what's so funny?
Yeah.
Leland was like, oh, this is just like lady porn. And then I was like, no, it's actually not. Season two hasn't. And then he came in the last 5 minutes of the very last episode. And he was like, what are you talking about? There's literally tits on the screen. And I was like, no, that just came on. I think they were like, shit, we forgot. We're meant to be a hot, sexy show. Let's just throw in tits in the last minute. Like, it was so unnecessary for her tits to be out.
So unnecessary, dude. 100%. Did you enjoy all the sexual tension in the second season?
Yeah, I would say I did enjoy it, but I also felt really frustrated at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it got to it quicker in the first season. Like,
I agree.
I agree.
They're really pushing it where it's like clearly you two like each other. It shouldn't take this long for you to figure that out.
Have you seen Normal People?
Oh, I did, and I totally forgot everything.
It felt very like Normal People in regards to two people just really not communicating, completely misunderstanding each other, and not getting to be together until the very last second.
Right. And you know what's interesting is like, I don't know why I was mad about the younger sister the whole time. I don't know how much we're going to talk about Bridgerton, but like, I was just like annoyed at her because I was like, can you stop focusing on yourself, you brat? Your big sister is... available and she needs to like she's being your caretaker. Stop it. Like, push her away.
Yeah, I felt the same when she got really mad at her sister. So for the listeners or anybody who, there might be a few spoilers, or if you aren't going to watch it, we'll just give you a quick spoiler that you know, so her sister Kate has like basically taken care of her. She's her half sister, and she's really pushing for her to meet a man so that they're all financially secure. But so she's done everything. She's taught the sister. You know what? She was like, I can speak French. I can speak, you know, Indian English.
Younger sister?
Yeah. Wait, is that the language of India?
Oh, I mean, there's so many, but Hindi.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, she might have said Hindi.
She might have said Hindi. Okay, great.
Might have.
Oh my God, for a second I was like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Oh no, Indian. No. I'm so sorry. But it's, you know, it's okay. Everybody says
that. It's like people saying like Irish, but it's like
So we say Irish, but they say Gaelic in America, but it's actually Gaelga.
Oh yeah, it's Gaelga. Okay, so it's
fine. Gaelic's like the culture, but it's fine.
Right. You're good.
Yeah,
but you're killing it.
Thank you. But she's like, I do this dance. I play the piano. I read all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Wow, if I didn't watch TV, I would, you know, what you can get done without a TV, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, God, yeah.
She's talking about all these things she can do. And I'm like, well, I can binge two series in 2 days. So who's the catch here?
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt the same when the sister in the end, when she found out that this, you know, sister was trying to like just set her up for like to get them to be. She wasn't really understanding. And it's like she got really mad at the sister, like, you've liked him the whole time. And it's like, yeah, but she was willing to give him up because you wanted him.
Yeah, she really didn't have any understanding. She just got angry at Kate. And it's like, dude, come on. Like, you've just gotten everything handed to you. You're the diamond of the season. Like, get over yourself. Like, you brat. Like, I just couldn't handle how angry I was at this, like, this little sister who's like this beautiful, adorable girl. But I'm just like, you're making me mad.
Yeah. And I suppose it's the same, you know, when teenagers get really annoyed at their parents because they're like, I'm independent, I want to be free. So I guess she was just having that. It was like literally she was having a rebellious.
Yeah. And the mom was like out of the picture. Like the mom was doing nothing. She was just like, well, wedding time? Is that what's going on now?
Let sisters fight. You know?
But then she wouldn't even like talk to her, the older sister, that much either. Like she, it felt like she also only cared about the younger one.
Yeah.
Was that just me?
I think because I have a stepmother, I definitely felt that she did care about her. Because remember when the parents were like, and then he had another daughter, and then she was like, so that was when the you know, and then the stepmother was like, I have two daughters. She made sure to make sure that the girl was always felt very claimed.
Okay, so I definitely was confused. that's not the Kate's real mom.
No, that's her. That's her stepdaughter. So when she ran off,
I thought they had the same mom but different dads.
No, same dad.
Same dad.
So when she ran off, when the mum ran off with the dad, he had a daughter from a previous marriage, but then the not previous marriage, I think he was like a widow.
Okay, totally missed it. Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you really did pick up that it's not her child.
Yeah, I was like, I felt something weird. It all makes sense.
It's also complicated though, because it's like, well, if she had it, Anthony was flirting with her from the start, so if she had just rolled with that, she could have gotten the finance. Oh no, she couldn't, because she's not, because her grandparents, they're not her grandparents, she's a
they wouldn't have bankrolled.
Yeah, they said it only bankrolled the daughter, so that's why she invested all in the daughter.
That is very true. So that's why she had to sacrifice from the get-go.
Yeah, it's all very complicated. But I mean, at the end, the sister was nice.
Yeah. And they all chilled out.
Yeah, they all chilled out.
Once Kate was hurt, everyone was like, oh, we do care about you.
Yeah. All it takes, you know, when I watched that movie, do you know what's so bad about that episode? Sorry, not that movie. Mm-hmm. Is that, do you ever have a really bad fight with your family? I know this is awful, but sometimes I've been like, well, if I just fell over now and twisted my ankle, it would put things in perspective. I'm not going to do it. But that's what these shows and
if
movies.
I just fell off a horse right now.
Yeah, if I just nearly died, that'd really put it in perspective for them, and they wouldn't be fighting with me over blah blah blah.
They'd learn a lesson.
Yeah.
If I just get electrocuted a little bit right now.
Yeah. It's awful, because that's what movies. That's the thing with Bridgerton as well. Like, it is your love triangle, which everybody fucking loves. Your drama, your all that. The only thing I will say is what's amazing about them is I watched a TikTok about a Indian girl was saying how great it was to see proper representation.
Oh, I was obsessed with that too. Yeah. I was just like, first of all, showing dark skinned Indian women, people they don't do that. They don't promote dark skinned women, and it was just really cool to see that.
I had no idea until I listened to that TikTok. Oh my god, TikTok educate you.
It totally can, because if you watch a lot of Bollywood stuff, it's mostly very light skinned South Asian women.
Yeah,
they get the roles.
Can I say something that's really dumb and ignorant? And
no,
oh my
no,
god,
no, say it
is raining through my roof right now.
Oh,
it just
dripped.
Oh my god, this How guy this apartment.
Home?
Oh. But
we put a bucket if we need to.
I know, it's just so annoying.
Oh, I see it.
Because my landlord's like,
it'll just fill up our
insane.
Kettle.
Yeah.
We'll just get more tea.
Yeah. My landlord's completely insane, so we hate to have to ever ask him for stuff. But yeah, so just so great that it's raining in my room right now. But anyway, hope I make it. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So this is going to sound dumb and ignorant, but I will say, obviously, I grew up in Ireland. And so hearing about this, and she was saying that it's because of European beauty standards. So a lot of the time, they want the women to be lighter. And I know this is going to sound ignorant, but Ireland obviously didn't get that memo, because every single girl in Ireland wears so much fake tan.
Oh God, I mean,
and like the they don't want to be light, they want to be darker. So 100%. I wonder what that's so, isn't that wild though, that all these women in movies over there feel like they have to be. I had no idea.
It's such a thing. It's so complicated and complex, honestly. Yeah. It's like a really messy thing, but like, yeah, there's it's very like all the billboards in Pakistan like are gonna be, and it's like all parts of Asia too, it's not even just like India or Pakistan, it's like everybody is just like, you're light-skinned, you're, you know, you're more desirable. And
it's wild because it's so wild, because in Ireland, if you're tanned, that's more desirable,
right?
And it was always, and everybody wears fake tan. They would never dream. I never did because of laziness. And also, yeah, actually, I tan really well in the summer. So
that's good. But I mean, I guess it's like the grass is always greener on the other side. Like I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and the other side sounds more like a crazy European thing. Or that, yeah, that they're trying to. It's just what I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. So. I guess so. You know, like. Yeah. And so that's why it is pretty incredible to see two brown women,
yeah,
in the show, because it's like, oh no, we exist. Hello, we're here. And like, yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. I read something as well about the sister saying how she's really struggled with that as well. And she's based in Australia. So interesting.
The younger sister? Kate?
Yeah. The younger sister. Yeah, okay. And then Kate is British.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're both.
They're so gorgeous.
They're both. That's not their actual accents as well. So, right. You know what? I love, whoa, that as well, because you're like, yeah, you're still, you're so talented.
So yeah, talented. Oh, yeah, my God.
Yeah. So
amazing.
They're great. What else about that show? Oh, yeah. I think two things I want to cover with it was, I remember saying to you that she, you know, so Kate's like, the one you're meant to be with, you can't like take your eyes off in a room, and it has to be like this, like your soul's meeting. And I said to Sabine, I was like, I'm really worried because I can take my eyes off Leland in a room. Actually, my eyes are never on him in a room.
Every time we're in a room, it's just somewhere else.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't have that intense. And I was like, and then what did I say? I was like, is it okay that we're not, because that's toxic to
and
me.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, that's fake. It's toxic. Yeah. It's literally just like a romance novel, like on screen to make you just feel these intense emotions. Yeah. The whole purpose of Bridgerton is for you to feel intense romantic emotions. Like,
and that's not healthy.
The show.
That's not any relationship.
Not sustainable.
No, any relationship that starts off like that intensity always like blows up in your face.
Yeah.
You said it was like an adult version of Disney.
I did.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah,
yeah, I did. Because it's just.
Oh, did I? I did.
I said it. It's just like the prince will come and save you, and this man with his money will save our family. It's like,
yeah,
it is literally Disney.
And I like as well, though, I guess.
Except none of the moms are dead. Because in Disney, all the moms are dead early.
Yeah,
have you noticed that?
This is nice. They kill the husbands and they have her as a pretty strong, independent woman. She is happy to live alone. But, you know, but then again, she didn't. She does.
She didn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She didn't. And the whole show is about men and women getting together. It's like,
yeah, you're right,
all about that. All about like, you know. Yeah, it's very like, it is very Disney movie. Like, it's not teaching us the right stuff.
I do love it.
I know.
I just don't want it to ruin my relationship. But it's okay.
Just don't let it seep in. Just acknowledge that it's fake and it's fantasy.
Yeah, but I do think I even
they need to have a warning message before they play the show. Just like, this is a fantasy. Your relationships are fine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's what they need to have.
Yeah, they need to have at the end of each episode. Yeah. You know, like where they have like suicide hotline movies or sorry, yeah, numbers in these in series. They should have like at the end.
Call this number.
Yeah, if your relationship isn't like this, you're doing well.
Yes, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They need to do that, because I mean, if you even thought it, like, I'm sure so many couples are like, what is going on here? Like,
yeah, and it's not sustainable as well. And I love Leland, and it's so cool, like, you know, and we have like, it has a nice balance of everything, but that's not what I was taught growing. Well, firstly, it's not what I saw growing up, and then secondly, it's not what I was taught, because I love Disney. I've always loved relationship. I've always wanted that passion, and so I pursued passionate, and it was always passion / volatile.
Oh God, yeah, same. I mean, I would always look for passion. I was like, oh, it's got to have this like crazy energetic spark right away, and like we need to talk for like 25 hours a day in the beginning for a month, and if we're not doing that and we're not full insomniacs, then this is not great.
Can I say that you when at one stage went through a thing where you told a guy you didn't want to see him anymore, and he was like, okay, I respect that. And then me and you, which shows a toxic trait of us, we were like, what the fuck? Why would he just let you? Why would he just let you break up with him? I don't understand. And that's like, you know, we had to both be like, oh wait, actually, that's really healthy that he's not stalking you.
I know. Again, it's so hard. It's even hard. Right now, I'm like, no, you need to chase me. And just I just need so much security.
Yeah, me too.
You know, we talked about that where it's just like, I need, but yeah, it's like, I love the respect that he's showing me. I love that he's not being psychotic, right?
I know, but I really love it when they're psychotic. It's There's so something hot. Wrong with it. Like, Leland is probably also, to listeners, sorry if I'm breathing a lot. I was just saying earlier, I don't know. I think I have long COVID, but anyway.
You do not have long COVID.
Like I do.
But we just need to increase your, honestly, a little bit of Stairmaster, consistent running or something like that.
I read an Instagram thing. I read all these things where it says like, and it was like 5 signs of an intelligent person. And each one, I was like, wow, this is me. I'm intelligent. And then the 5th one was exercise daily. And I was like, damn, I'm a dumb cunt. I'm a dumb cunt.
I love that so much. Well, so am I. I haven't worked out in like a month.
I can't do it. I hate it. But we will go.
Because I got to go with you. I have so many guest passes. I haven't even been taking advantage.
Will you pour me some tea?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Alrighty. Fancy.
See, if you guys sign up to a Patreon, you get to see my...
This makes me feel like we're on Bridgerton right now.
Yeah. Okay, that's loads.
Okay.
Wow. And then, will you give me a little milk as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Oat milk for the listeners. But, okay. Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Is that too much?
Oh,
that
no, it's perfect. Okay, we're drinking Hawaiian chai.
I actually really like it this way. It's very good. It's a really, really good tea.
So with Leland, when we first started dating, I think he just walked into the apartment. He was very, like, gave me a lot of security and reassurance in a nice, not like, so like the opposite way. You're like, you want them to be like, all I want is you, I've never met a woman like you. And I never understood that a guy could just be like, hey, yeah, I'm really like, I'm, you know, I want to be with you and I'm happy to be in this relationship and I want to be exclusive. And or if I'd be like, hey, I want to see you more, he's like, okay, yeah, cool, I'll make that effort and see you more. Or I'm like, I would like tea in the morning, he's like, yeah, cool, I could, you know.
Like, but like, did that, so then was that different then? Like, I mean, it was different when you saw that he wanted to comfort and be with you, but like he was voicing it not in a crazy toxic way. So how was that for you? Was that like so weird and you were like, oh, why aren't you like aggressively saying this to me?
You're
like,
yeah, 100%. And if I'm honest, it took me like a really long time to find that normal. Mm-hmm. Like I was even thinking about it the other day, and it's like, okay, so we're together nearly a year now and I'm like so happy and so comfortable. But I would say only the last 6 months. I would say the first 5 to 6 months were like, I wanted to be with him and I was happy to be with him, but it was like a lot of adjusting, me being in therapy, because I was used to being with it was used to being with toxic men, and I know how to react in those situations, or like passionate men as well. So someone who's calm and sweet and then like not really used to an argument and not knowing how to like maybe argue or whatever, and like would be shocked at an argument, you know.
Talking to me?
So it took a lot of like having to understand how to like rework my brain to be able to date a person like that, and to like appreciate like, oh, okay, it's better to be with someone who like respects you and it's calming and like, and a part of me at the start was like afraid it was going to be boring.
God, yeah, that's such a fear of mine. But yeah, it's just like that thing where I was telling you about how, you know, you get so used to chaos because you've been in like such toxic relationships and you get this level of chaoticness and then when you're in a relationship that's actually healthy and good and stable and calm, you're like, this is boring. But it's like, you know, sometimes it could be, but it's just, a lot of times it's like there's no chaos. It's the chaos has been removed. It's not messy. It's like they're listening to you. You guys are communicating. So there's not that huge mess. And now you're like, well, I need the mess. Like,
And have you felt that you've been able to get to that point?
I'm getting there. It's a struggle because my last thing, like I said, it was with the religious leader, which is a whole thing.
Happy Ramadan, by the way.
Thank you. And I thank God he's out of my life every day. It's like, but you know, after that, what was it? What was my point? I don't even know what my point was.
Oh, that you're trying to find
something more calm after that.
Yeah, and maybe identified that as attractive and those qualities as like. I think with the boring thing, it's like you have to start to learn to like maybe not get your fill of drama from that. And I think this is why these shows do so great, because it's drama and everybody loves drama, and sometimes people have it in friendships or in their relationships. And or you're replaying like a childhood trauma or whatever it is, you gotta just get yourself into therapy. Figure that shit out if it's childhood trauma. Yeah. If it's like kind of that need for drama, you have to kind of ask yourself, like, why do I need someone to be like so passionate, but like they're so passionate that they might want to like lock me up in their basement, you know, like,
exactly. Because
a lot of the time some of these qualities come with like possessive, or why do I need a guy to be jealous to know that right. means he loves me, like,
exactly. What is that? And like, and I think that what comes with that is like, you know, these, because you know how I was telling you that I'm making like these snap decisions where if it, like, one thing doesn't work out, I'm like, well, we should break up. And like, that's my go-to. And it's like, that's learned behavior too, because I've been ghosted by, and like, we've all been ghosted, but like, I've dated these passionate men where they're just like, yep, this isn't working. And like, I've been like, okay, so that's normal. We do that. Yeah. That's what we do. This is how we end relationships. If there's one sign of not working in this, we just cut it off. And that's it.
But that's so true. And I think most people listening who are dating right now, or have in the last like 5 to 10 years, are going to completely agree with you, because it's such a next. And then a lot of people love bomb or trauma bond, which we've talked about on the podcast before, but basically where they're like, I've never met anyone like you. And like, I can't even thought, like, I dated an Irish guy over here who was like, oh, I've been waiting to meet someone. I haven't been able to have sex in so long, and I've been waiting till I've been comfortable with. Turns out he was seeing someone right up until like he cheated on her with me. I had no idea. So he just ghosted her, and he was acting like she was some crazy stalker bitch. And turns out she wasn't. But this guy was awful.
And he was telling you he was waiting to have sex.
He told me he was waiting to like he hadn't had sex in 2 years. I think it was like
that's a long length.
Yeah, it was a lot. And he was saying, I was waiting till I was like comfortable with someone again, because I've been kind of struggling with intimacy, and I just feel so comfortable with you. Yeah, and we told each other we loved each other so early on, and everything was so intense. And like, of course, it burnt out within 3 months, and it turned out that he was like, I would say now in hindsight, a relationship scam artist, because he like asked for a ton of money and stuff like that.
There you go.
Yeah, he's not great. But what was my point with that? I forget
too, but I got really into it. And I was like, oh, these scam artists, there's so many of them.
Oh, I knew I was going to say. So when someone like trauma bonds with you, or needs you, or like love bombs you, all of those things where it's like really intense at the start, you kind of like, it's like you're blind and you lose sight of things.
You do, yeah.
And so then when you meet someone where it's just like, hey, let's take it day by day and get to know each other. And it's, you're like, do you really like me? Oh, yeah. And then the second thing.
That was my issue, yeah.
Yeah. And so you've had all these guys do that. You've had all these guys ghost you.
Bomb, ghost.
Yeah. Like, so just, then it's super hard for you then to like go into to date someone who's maybe normal. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, they're not really that into me because they're not doing this.
Yeah.
Or B, it's hard for you to let yourself be open because you're used to kind of someone doing that and then you doing it back. So it feels like a bit like you're not connecting. But before it was just a trauma bond, or it's not healthy.
True. And me and the guy toxic that I'm kind of seeing, or kind of was seeing, or I'm not sure what it is I'm not gonna say his name, but yeah, it's just, we both talked about how we didn't love bomb each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's a good thing. And we're both like, felt it was really healthy to even say that, because I was like, yeah, we're not love bombing each other, we're just taking it day by day, and this is very slow because he takes things very slow. And I was like, okay, that's new for me. It's very new for me to be that slow, because I'm used to just being like, here's all my stuff right now, everything.
Yeah. And I even think that he was going really slow, and
yeah.
I was like, even like, this is really slow. But yeah, but also I was very much you, like, I'm like you though. I'm so, I have to remember, I do think Leland went faster, but that's because straight away, and we
had the friendship before,
we knew each other, so there was a lot. We would talk for 3 weeks before, on and off, like just an Instagram message, but we knew each other, and we were never friends, but we knew each other for 4 or 5, you know. And then like his best friend lived with me, so there was all these
you got so comfortable with them, so when it came to getting the romantic and the love part in, I feel like that was just a lot easier, because you had something stable.
Exactly 100%. There was something else I was gonna say about your situation.
Oh
I can't remember.
It's okay. Is it about how we did the chasing part, how I want him to chase me, trauma bonding?
Oh yeah, no, I with Leland too, I pretty much was very open with that. I want a relationship.
Yeah.
I don't want to like waste my time and stuff like that. So I think it's really hard when you're going slow, and I think for me, you're looking for a relationship. So
totally.
Yeah. So, and like, this is like a few months you guys have been dating. So I think, you know, it's really hard when you don't have that security of like, okay, we're in a relationship. We can relax. I think like what I said to you earlier was I think people like me and you relax more when we know we're in a relationship, and then we relax more when we know that the promises they've made really come true, because we've had so many guys who like love bomb, their promises mean shit.
Nothing.
They expect you to be a girlfriend, but they don't give you the label. So I think your predicament now is just this nice guy who's like, yeah, let's just take it slow, and like that's normal. But you're coming from a place where it's like, no, I've been here. I don't want to invest too much time if it's not going to go somewhere either. So it's a hard situation to be in.
Oh, it's such a hard situation. Yeah. Now that we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, it's so hard. Oh God, yeah. Yeah, I needed to know that it's going somewhere for sure. But it's a good thing I've been like voicing what my needs are in the beginning.
Yes.
And he was saying how he was like, yeah, we have the same values, our things are aligning. So I'm like, okay. So I guess, yeah, just a matter of time. I just have to be a little bit more patient and see what it is.
Yeah.
That's all.
Not freak out.
That's my thing. It's like not freaking out and just ending things, because I'm just like, because the normal Sabine, what I would have done, and I'm not doing it, it would just be like, you know what? He hasn't texted me all day. I think I'm really going to end it this time. Honestly, this is how my brain works. And I'd be like, you know what? This is just really done. I think like let's just not even revisit this relationship.
But and it's like a trying to protect yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to cut it off before you get hurt.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think for all any of the listeners, a really good advice out of this situation is, if you freak out, just always be a great communicator, but you don't need to communicate that part. You can just call your friends or take a day. I think it's really, I think before you ever make a big, like one of my things with Leland was I would always like word vomit all of our shit all the time, because I was like, I've done the podcast and therapists always say you communicate. But then it got to a point where I was like, I think I'm over communicating. I think there's some things that I could just sit with. And if it's still bothering me the next day, like, I mean, yes, you should talk about things, but also like pick your battles, because next day, sometimes it's not that annoying and you're like, actually, does it matter?
Yeah. And you're like, I was just having a day.
Yeah.
And I didn't need to just end it. Or I was just having a really bad fight with my friend and I didn't need to end this relationship because that one's not going great. It's like,
and I think like for your person, he probably didn't realize that the question was so loaded that he asked. It's like when you are really, really hungry and someone goes like, what would you like for dinner? And you're like, I die, but I want pizza.
Yeah.
And then you start to have like a bit of a...
It was that. It was so many feelings all at once. Because like he didn't really ask me to be exclusive, but like this last time, it was just more of him getting extremely vulnerable with me and then me panicking because I was like, I just wanted exclusive a long time ago. Like and now I feel so weird because now I've been dating around and like, I feel like you wanted me to get comfortable with that. And I don't know. I don't know anymore. Cause if I was just with you, I wouldn't have dated anyone else. And I wouldn't have felt like half in and half out.
Yeah. I think a lot of women, and I think for the guys listening, you guys can DM me and correct me if I'm wrong, which you probably will. But I think women really do feel this. Like, we've always been taught to kind of like that there's shame in dating around when there's really not. If a guy doesn't say you're exclusive, I'm like pretty much an advocate to my friends, because I've wasted so much time on these motherfuckers being like trying to prove to them that I'm worthy of being a girlfriend, when Leland was the first one who ever proved to me that he's worthy of being a boyfriend.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
It's like, and it's so annoying. Anwar White said this on the podcast before, like, women wait to be chosen, and it's like, we should do, at least if you're dating around. And I think that's why you had like inherent, and I would say it's nearly sexism in us.
Yes,
because we've been told like, you know, and guys want that, and not like there's some great guys out there, but there is some guys who would like to live in that world, that past world where they get to choose and have multiple while the girl
while she doesn't she's just with him.
Yeah
Totally.
You know, it's to do with like sex shaming as well.
100%. And I felt so I felt so guilty,
right?
Because I was just like seeing other people, and he was just like,
And you weren't even kissing these people. Okay. That's what I was funny because I kept saying Sabine. I was like, you're not even dating. You're just meeting up and getting to know people. You're making new friends because you don't even kiss them. You're feeling guilty and you're not even, you're like.
I'm just hanging out. Just getting to know new people. Just making new friends.
Just making new friends.
Going on walks with people, getting coffee. And I'm like, this is the worst thing I could do.
I know. If we were in Facebook times, your friends list would just be grown.
Yeah, that's all. That is literally all that happened. So I just, the amount of guilt I felt was wild. And I didn't even recognize that until this time. Where I'm like, oh, that's a thing about me. Like, I feel very guilty about this and I don't want to. And also in my culture, Muslim, we never grew up with a dating culture. So Everything that like people that aren't Muslim have done dating wise, like in their teens and 20s, I feel like I got started in my like late 20s, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't really get to date much until later. So for me, it was like, this is all new. This is just like so many things.
Yeah. And I think you have the pressure of, I know that you want to have a relationship and a family one day.
Yeah.
So there's an added pressure. So not only, if anything, like my advice to you would be like, fucking date around. Like even with this guy, sure. I hope you guys talk again and he seems really nice. But until he says you are my girlfriend and I want a serious long-term relationship and you even discuss about what you want in the future. So until you have that, I'm a girlfriend, but what like your goals aligned and like so nearly like until you have the ring on the finger but not the ring is the label I would keep my options open and I wouldn't feel guilty about it because
absolutely
I think it's interesting because your guilt is stopping you meeting people and exploring and finding the type of partner you want but also you're still a woman who wants to have a family so you do have like ideally of course you could have potentially 8 years or you could get money and freeze your eggs but it's
all of the stuff absolutely but there is
it's
that
still kind of like
right there's a little bit of pressure but also just like this innate want of that relationship now you know whereas like maybe I didn't feel like I wanted it that badly earlier on like I was like fully in love with the religious leader even though he was I don't even know who I was dating but it was the first time I fell in love and I was like oh my god I love this I want that with a real person.
I remember seeing your Instagram stories and we weren't like besties.
Yeah. But now we are.
Then we're Hawaii girls.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing your Instagram stories and like messaging on it because you had gone through an experience that I had a similar experience with the pulse checker and the Irish guy actually. You know what? I got so offended when my roommate said to Leland, what was it? Leland said to him, I'm so lucky to be dating Katie. And he was like, oh, by the sounds of her story, she's so lucky to be dating you. But I got really offended and defensive. But, you know, usually that comes from somewhere. And it was because it was true. I have the catalog of like the worst men. You know, you want to know the A to Z worst men in New York City? I dated them.
Oh, for sure. And like, I think that, it sucks. But like, I feel like so many women have dated the worst people.
Oh, and it's just easy.
So many terrible men to go around.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I've dated so much because I was looking for a relationship, but I feel like maybe if I had of multiple dated more, because I would have just cut, instead of enjoying the attention, I would have just cut off the guy who was being like,
right.
I think so.
Yeah. And I just think it's hard though. That's all. Because it's when you get a little attached, even if you don't love them, you get that comfort and you're like, and you don't know, like you said, you don't know if it's your ego, if it's like feelings, like what it is. And it's hard.
And who is the time as well? I never had, the only time I multiple dated was right before Leland, and that was night. And again, I was the same as you. I think I like kissed one of them, but I was really just talking to them and going for a coffee and getting to know them and kind of seeing the type of qualities that I would like. And then Leland came around, so it all kind of just balanced out. But I also was in a headspace where I wasn't desperate or like wanting, and people tend to sense that, and I feel like then you become victim to these kind of like guys who are like prey on that. They're like, oh, she really wants to be a girl, like they must get off on it or something. So if you're like really wanting to be a girlfriend and really
they pick up on that feeling.
I think they pick up on the desperation, and then that sometimes can scare away a different guy. But also whatever.
But I also think that they're not just maybe they sense that, the desperation and the want to like, that you want to date someone, which is
take
not
care
bad
of someone.
Absolutely. But then they also sense like the kindness or like the empathy, and that's what I think. The light. They see that either, you know, you're like, you're like kind of glowing and you're just like happy, and they're like, I need to destroy that.
Yeah. That's so true.
How can I just put out that light?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like so nice to be nice, but then it is naive, you know?
Yes. You know, I feel that.
We have a friend, she does the total opposite, which I don't ever want to do, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but she mm-hmm. does like a resting angry face so that men won't ever talk to her. And then when people get to know her, they're like, oh, she's so nice and so great. And it's just funny, but that's what she's developed as like a protection against.
Yeah.
But she's also, you know, doesn't date, so yeah. And that's a choice of hers, so it's totally fine. So it's hard because...
It's good to have a little bit of that energy, though, of yeah. like that resting...
Because I'm too approachable.
Same.
You know, fucking the biggest weirdo in the street will come and talk to me, I'm like, yeah. What is going on? How is this happening to me?
I'm so approachable. Like, I notice, because, like, anytime I'd be flying, and I'd, like, just be sitting, like, the person next to me would always want to have a conversation. Forever. Like
you're so approachable. I'm you're so, approachable. So friendly.
I look like someone told me this hilarious line that I was like, oh, I should use this in stand-up, where it was like my friend was like, Sabine, you look like one of those like teachers that like changes a kid's life. Like,
yeah, you do. You look like the art teacher who teaches the kid with no hands to paint.
Exactly. And then 20 years later, that kid like wins at like some huge prestigious yeah. thing, and they're like, it's because of you, Miss Sadiq. And I'm like, oh.
Oh my god, you know, are you able to talk about the religious leader, or is okay because we didn't talk about that last time. We talked about beauty yeah. and mental health.
Yeah, where do we start? I know. I don't,
well, so
I don't even know.
I guess like you are religious.
I mean, I think it's like I'm like medium, you know, but like it's more of like I think like a lot of times when I look at the religion, I'll make this quick. It's just, to me, it's more like culture. It's mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, these are the things that I do. And it's like learned to like, you know, you pray when you're feeling bad, you do this, you do that. And it's just become just like this dogma that I'm like used to every day. So mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like I'm like overly religious. It just feels like, oh, these are some things that I do.
Yeah.
I think I'm in the middle.
Yeah. I would think if you were Catholic and you would be extreme religion. It's interesting because let's
really?
Say oh yeah yeah I would say I'd say okay you yeah, know what yeah. I'm talking about Catholics in Ireland because we're very very loose with the religion. Honestly, when Irish people in Ireland refer to them as Catholic, I don't think until you move over here, and even then I would just it's a nice way of being like, I've a load of guilt and I've a load of shame and,
yeah,
but there some people go to mass with their family or maybe on Sundays. But no, none of my generation really pray, and not a lot of them go to mass unless it's like Easter or Christmas. But like, if in my religion you were to give up drinking and that was part of the religion and you don't drink, that's what yeah. I'm saying, you'd be an extreme Catholic.
Oh my god, 100%.
So when you say
yeah.
the middle and I know you don't drink, I'm like, that to me seems very religious.
It's very true, very interesting.
And you
yeah.
and you do Ramadan, you fast for the whole month.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, I guess I am religious. I think it's just like the term being religious just feels like it can be taken so negatively.
Yeah. And
it's so negative.
Be.
And it's like a lot of people, they're just like, oh, you're like just this like goody two shoes, like bullshit kind of a person. Like, and
no,
it just,
you do stand up comedy.
Me.
Okay.
I've got edge.
Yeah. You get up and talk about miscarriage on stage. Okay. You have the best miscarriage bit I've ever.
I love my miscarriage bit.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, so I think I yeah, no, it's fine. And I like that you have introduced me to that world. That you're like, you know, mm-hmm. you're like a modern Muslim woman who enjoys your faith, and yeah. it's also a really great representation because you know, the narrative hasn't been that great
absolutely.
You know, especially mm-hmm. Muslim religion. And you know, it's, you know, same with Catholic religion because all those priests.
Oh, for sure. Exactly.
Hasn't got a great name.
Religions have been deemed so negative because yes. of all the crazy people that use them to do bad things.
Yeah.
So when the good people are practicing, it's just like, oh, you do that? Ugh.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing wrong with it. It healed me when my brother would scream at me. Like, it just was there for me. It made me feel good when I went through a lot of trauma. So.
No, 100%. Like, if anybody... I think it's awful to have shame or guilt, and a lot of us have, and a lot has to do with like maybe a wrong reading into a certain aspect of religion, of course. And I yeah. think in Ireland, you know, a lot of sexism came out of the Catholic Church getting so involved, and you know, a lot of bad things happened. So we definitely can't say not. But let's say if someone criticized someone for having a belief, it's like, well, how is it different than you believing in nothing, or that exactly. you believe, you know, you're, then the other people would be like, well, I believe my conscience goes to the astral plane. Like, I mean,
exactly.
It's
actually, that's your religion, you know, just like
100%.
I believe in crystals. Okay. That's your religion.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, astrology. And it's like totally fine. Whatever you want to believe, whatever. Oh, you know what I was going to say? How's it, you praying? How's that different than someone meditating?
I 100% agree.
Yeah, it's like meditative, if I can say words. or someone who goes to the gym just to like, I'd imagine that, you know, praying. And I do a thing where I kiss my cross if I think of a bad thought. But a lot of that was to do it as a kid. I had like so many bad thoughts and it was like a weird environment. And then that helped. So because in my Absolutely. Head it was like, well, if I can't find wood, I can kiss my cross because Jesus Christ's cross was wood. And 100%. It was just a coping mechanism for like extreme anxiety. Totally. And I still to this day, and it helps so much. If I'm like, if you start talking about cancer, you'll see me slowly slip and kiss my cross because I'll have thought in my head, what if my dog gets cancer? And I'm going to kiss that right now. I'm going to kiss it right now. I'm so sorry, Patreons. I'm so crazy.
That's so interesting. I love that because that's like my coping mechanism is just reciting verses from the Quran.
See?
Or, you know, certain things like I'll just say in my head while like if I have a bad thought, I'll be like, oh God, that shouldn't happen. Please like do not allow that. Like whatever in Arabic. So it's the same concept.
Yeah. You know? And I would love to believe in religion, just because if anybody close to me passed away, it'd be really nice to believe that they go to a place and I'm going to see them. But
yeah.
So I think that is lovely for people to have. But I also don't not believe. I think that maybe I definitely think our souls go somewhere.
Yeah.
But I really like my body. So I'm having real issues with that right now. Because I don't want to lose. I don't want to be
talking about
my
Islam
body.
A little bit more. I'll fix all of this. Let's convert you.
Okay. Hey, I said on stage the other night that so there was a Filipino girl and I was like, oh my God, we are so similar, Filipino people and Irish people, because the Catholic Church went there and we were already both a superstitious people. Because I dated two Filipino guys, so we know this. And she was like, yes. And I was like, it's so funny because now I'll be like, touch wood, but also, you know, God protect me. And then I said, I'm so superstitious that I'm about to do Ramadan as well.
Have you been doing that on stage?
I just did it as crowd work tonight. But of course they weren't taping. And I was like, oh, that would have been a fun one.
That's annoying.
Perfect. I only got like 3 weeks left. Maybe if I another Filipino person.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Like, you touch wood, you kiss the cross, you do Ramadan. It's like, what
I'll
else?
Do it all. Yeah. I'm going to edge all my bets. I'll do Buddhism. Whatever.
Dude, I love that. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah, but Irish people are super superstitious. Oh, but that's, you know what, so we have to talk about the religious here, but to bring it back to Bridgerton, I think that was something I wanted to say about them creating a love triangle. I read in an article that's why people do love triangle. You know, so just when me and you and thinking like of our like toxic traits, it's because it's filling your ego.
Oh. Our toxic traits. Oh my God. So yeah. Like ending it fast fills my ego, makes me feel in
because
control,
you haven't been. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then if you're in like, so in the if you're in a love triangle and you're both fighting for one guy, if you're getting the attention or you win them, you might not actually like the guy. It was just like the competition. Oh. It was like your ego.
Yeah.
So that was something I forgot to say earlier, but yeah.
That's such a big thing. It was just like being chased and like feeling that.
The
and you're
chase
like, is it my ego? Is this the feelings? Like, which one is it?
Yeah. I'm feeling 100%. Like the adoration.
Mm-hmm. It's that's all part of the drama of it, you know.
So, but now to go to the religious leader, how did you meet him?
So I was talking to this guy on Minder, Muslim Tinder.
Is that real?
That's real. It's
every time
terrible.
People say from like different races about stuff, I truly do not know if they're joking. I really don't know.
Oh no, it's real. There's really a J-date.
There's a black Twitter.
Yeah, there's a black Twitter.
Okay, I truly thought that was a joke.
I was
for
like,
years.
Well, that's not a dating app, but like, yeah, there's a black Twitter.
Wow.
I was like, sure, let's drink black Twitter into this.
Sorry, I've always wanted to ask, but then I always
Santa
thought,
also like, real. And I'm kidding. I just like make up.
But is there, okay, so there is.
Yeah.
And there's Minder.
There's Minder. Minder's real. Wow. And there's like a lot of them. There's like different Muslim dating apps because there's just so many people. And but it's just, Minder has been just bad news. I met a guy, didn't work out. And he's like, you would be really great for this friend of mine who was the religious leader. And this shows you that men's friendships, they don't really get to know each other.
No.
It's like, don't recommend your guy friend if you don't know him on the deepest level. He didn't even know this guy was a scam artist. Or maybe he does. And I'm not 100% sure about this, but I have a feeling he didn't actually know.
Yeah. No, he probably did. I think you're right. I've seen someone post a tweet about a guy and I can't remember who it was and I'm going to butcher it, but it was basically like
yeah, a guy's best friend will be like, oh, you know, actually Tom Dekar has a great bit about it.
Oh, really? Where
his fiance was like, okay, who do you want to invite to the wedding? And he's like, let's invite Scuzz. And then she's like, okay, but I need a first name or a last name. And he's like, just write Scuzz.
Just write Scuzz. Yeah.
And I think that's such a great joke about male friendships. They don't even know their real names.
They don't. That is actually so funny. Yeah. God, Tom Dekar is so funny.
He's so funny.
Amazing. They don't know anything. It's like he's like straight up recommending this guy, but it's like he has no idea that this guy has been like messing with all kinds of grooming women that are younger to like, you know, accommodate his needs and his life and like just worship him as this like praise him as this like religious leader and like
And this is a person who the only way like it's a person who uses religion to trap young women who really believe in this. So you're using their faith.
Dude, it took me so long to separate that because after the I could say a breakup, but he ghosted me. So after that, I was just like, well, did he like the religion or was he using it? Was it both? Like, I couldn't figure it out because I was like, when he talked to me, it was very like loving about the religion and he was like so into it. But then I'm like, so then did it end up where like you started using it to be a bad person? Or I think he just had negative traits and he was going to do the sociopathic stuff anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And he happened to like being Muslim and he realized he could put them together.
Yeah, if he were a bartender, he would just take advantage of like the new server.
Boom. It was like that. So, yeah, he love bombed me. You know, texting was very aggressive in the beginning. He told me he was an attorney. I told you I found out that was a lie. He never passed any bar exams. Jesus. Anywhere. Yeah.
If that's the case, I am an astronaut.
Yes, exactly. I am a radiologist. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Hey, that's let's all play games today. He was like, he lied about that. His ex-wife told me everything later. And his ex-wife weirdly looked exactly like me, by the way.
Jesus.
Which is like, oh, you have a type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was weird. I don't know. And it was like straight up love bombing, like texting constantly. For the first couple weeks, talking for like 6 hours on the phone.
Oh, I know what is so sad about that when that happens. Then I'm like, oh, you wasted so much of my time. Because then you get exhausted.
Yeah, you do.
And then when you meet a nice guy, they're like, hey, you know, you want to tell me about your life? And you're like, no. I've told too many people already. Okay, you could call up this guy and that guy and that guy.
He'll give you the lowdown. I'm not doing it again.
Fed up. When I hear myself, I don't want to hear my own story. I hate my story.
It's the worst story ever. Yeah. I'm just done telling it. Yeah. 100%, dude. I totally feel that. I do feel like I wasted so much time with him. And then he would say, like, he just knew. He was so charismatic. He was a true sociopath. Like, he really was. Because everything I wanted, I was just giving it to him. I was, like, you know, just showing him the kind of man I wanted. And he was like, cool, I will be this guy.
They just mirror what you want.
He just mirrored it.
Oh, it's so gross.
And it was perfection. Like, this guy was, I mean, I feel like he went to school and got, like, a PhD in being a scammer. Like,
they should just be actors. Okay? There is a career. And so all those narcissistic scammers that are in the acting field, thank you. Mm-hmm. You stay there. Stay in your lane.
Stay there. We need you there.
Yeah, only there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Like, and his ex-wife, she told me, when she, like, laid down the truth of what he was in their marriage and how he owed her, like, 60 grand, all this stuff, he painted her to be a monster. He was like, she just wants all my money and all this terrible stuff. And he made me believe she was the worst.
Oh, and so you knew he had an ex-wife.
I did. Yeah. I didn't mind. I was like, oh, you're divorced, whatever. Yeah. You know, I don't care. As long as you grew and you have a therapist. This is what he said to me. I thought this was very interesting. He's like, Sabine, if we get deeper into this relationship, like, and you want to learn more about me, I will gladly give you my therapist information and you could just talk to her about anything. And I think that was, and so I was just like, the way I read that, because obviously I'm in love with him right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was
like,
oh my God, he is just ready to just be so vulnerable.
Open book.
And I was like, well, I surely don't need to reach out to his therapist. Honestly, I should have just called out his bluff. Like, I'm sure if I did talk to his therapist, if he had one, she would have told me like the truth.
Oh, she would have said, no, she would have said it's confidential.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But then you might have gotten a DM from a Finsta, like a fake account being like, run bitch, run.
I know, yes.
This is not the therapist.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing was, his ex-wife, when they were having marital issues, they went to see a couple's counselor and the therapist, I can say all this because I'm sure she doesn't care. So the therapist was sitting with both of them and after talking to both of them for a little bit, she saw them separately. Then she sees the ex-wife and then she tells her, she's like, look, you need to leave him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, you need to get out of this as soon as you can. And I will just be his therapist because he needs it.
Yeah.
Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah, and that's amazing of the therapist. And I think they could probably legally do it because she the therapist was seeing both of them at the time, but like,
I think she saw everything wrong in this man, and he has everything wrong with him. The ex-wife was like, Sabine, he lives at his mom's house and everyone just sees him as a big joke. So he's just like being this bravado macho man on the phone with me. It made me sick to my stomach that he was faking this thing while he's sitting in this house where everyone's like, that idiot.
Oh, no, it's awful.
Yeah. And he faked that his mom had cancer.
Oh, my God. Stop. You know what? I
have a bit on that where I'm like, I prayed for her. Yeah. It's like, I love saying that.
Don't waste my prayers. Yeah. No, that's awful. I also dated a guy who told people he had cancer. It's very strange, though. This is when we were young. And it just one day he stopped telling people he had cancer and we kind of didn't look into it enough, but I truly don't think he had cancer.
He's gonna stop telling
him. But you know, he had a really rough childhood, so it's like, whatever, let's let him
have this cancer thing.
I wonder now if he'll ever like hear this and call me and be like, I really had cancer.
But I mean, here's the paperwork.
It was all pretty much because I think I remember something like I said it in front of like a parent or a sister and they were like, what? No, he doesn't. So I was like, God. So unless they didn't know, but I feel like the parent or the sister, I can't remember if it was his older sister or his mother, but you know, anyway, he was going through a lot, you know, but
I'm sure, but
it was very much like, I've got kind of, like, feel sorry for me, get back with me, I'd broken up with him, and then another time he like stabbed himself for me. Very toxic. Oh, we were God, very so young toxic. Yeah, that's, I know, so my toxic relationship started from the get-go.
I'm so happy you're with Leland.
Me too. But anyway, this religious leader, he was at home, he told you he was living by himself.
Well, he said he was staying with his mom right now because she's not feeling well. He was taking care of her, but he has a condo that he stays in. He acted like he had so much money and it made me feel like super weird because he was just like, when we're together, when we're married, I'm gonna get you this car. And he would send me this like image of like this like Mercedes, whatever the hell. And I was like, I'm just gonna keep my Hyundai. And like, I was just like, I would try to make light of it because it was so awkward. And I was like, I wasn't raised that way, dude. Like, I'm not after you for money or like whatever. Like,
it's really sad, though, that's what he thought.
Yeah.
Also, you're already in. You're already hooked. He doesn't need to be like. And so yeah.
Weird. Yeah.
And how you dated for a while, right?
6 months.
6 months.
So it was like two months straight up love bombing. And then I can remember now that like after that 2 months, it tapered off, like less texting.
Oh, but they can't keep up with it. That's what the textbooks all say. Yeah, like when I can't.
But also because he was seeing another girl, because at the end of this,
and
6 months,
he asked you to be exclusive.
Well, yeah, he did expect us to be exclusive after like a month, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember exactly, but I know,
but still,
early
he was
on. He was seeing another girl. Bastard. The whole time, 2 months in, because he stopped texting me a lot. And I was like, something's going on here. He's like not acting romantic anymore. And he used to act so romantic. Lied to me all the time. Because he was like, oh, I'm going to send you something and make it up because I didn't send you anything on Valentine's Day. Are you mad? I was like, yeah, I'm kind of mad. Yeah. And it felt like he enjoyed me being mad. He was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, ew. Like, yeah. I think you're enjoying this.
Yeah, because it shows
you're just playing
him
my emotions.
How much you care about him in like a toxic way. Also, I think that he gets off on the 2 month, you know, the honeymoon, the intense, and then that's all he gets off on. So he has to just keep repeating that. He can't be like, you know, to the part where you're like, okay, we're together, we're happy, we're secure. He doesn't like that. So he has to.
Mm-mm. He doesn't like anything else after that. And so he's talking to this other girl, and apparently she was like 22 and probably easier to manipulate than me.
Oh, she's a baby.
She's a baby. And he pretty much went to the West Coast and he told me he was going on this big business trip for Boeing and he was going to become partner at his firm or whatever the hell. God, the lies. And then he sent me a picture of himself at the hotel, just like a picture. And I was like, we need to talk. And then nothing after that. And I found out later on that that's the day he was meeting up with her family to get engaged. So he was trying to keep me on the hook until he could lock it in with this girl.
Oh, my God. And then he got engaged to her?
No. So they were about to get engaged. And then I told the best friend who connected us everything. And I was like pissed. Yeah. And he made sure to reach out to that girl and tell her what's up. And she canceled the engagement.
Thank God.
I'm sure he's going to find someone who doesn't know anything.
I know. But the ex-wife is very vocal, right? She posted a big thing.
She did post. And he got canceled on social media. I kind of semi-stayed into it and out of it because I was like, I want people to know that, yeah, I freaking dealt with this. This hurt. But then I was like, no, I don't like all this. Because as soon as people were like, I'm so sorry, I'm like, nah, I can't anymore.
Yeah. I think it's great, though, that she did do something. Because a lot of the time we're told, you know, don't make a big deal. Just move on. And like, I've had situations where it's like, part of me now, there was a guy who like never told me he like lied about having a girlfriend, and like I'd seen her comment, so then like I figured out he did have a girlfriend. but he was having unprotected sex with me. Mm-hmm. So he put her at risk. He put me at risk.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted out of it. I was like, that's like, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And he like tried to lie his way out of it. But fast forward now, it's been like a long time later, maybe like 2 years. I do think sometimes like it never occurred to me to reach out to that girl or to a... I would never say anything publicly because he does work in the same field as us. I think you know the guy I'm talking about.
Okay.
And then I just don't want to cause any trouble. And I wouldn't want people to know that we had been together. But a part of me thought, should I have reached out to that girl? Mm-hmm. And I didn't. And
did she know anything about it?
I don't think so. I didn't tell her. I just ended it. But I never did because I just didn't want to cause any drama. And I didn't want to like... be in the but in hindsight, actually, I think people who do that have more balls because it's like, mm-hmm. So it's really nice that someone reached out to that girl or to you or right. The fact that this woman is taking it on, because it's a lot, you can get in a lot of trouble and a lot of drama.
Yeah.
And like, and that's so much anxiety. And I was just like, he kept being like to me, no, we're open, but I was like, there's no way they're open, because and I didn't want him saying to people like our coworkers like, oh, Katie DM'd her, like, or make it like I was crazy whatever.
Totally pin everything on you.
Yeah, it's like, make you, I think like that, like, crazy.
Also, when you're put in those situations, like, it's hard to know what to do. So it's brave to even just get out. Yeah, you know,
because hindsight
is 2020. You're just like, I know exactly what I would have done, but do we ever actually do exactly what we should have done? Yeah. No, we just try to get out of a situation and try to learn and take a couple things from that and move on to the next one.
And I still probably, to be honest with you, if I were to go back in time, I wouldn't tell her just for the chance that they are open and he's not lying. But like, I mean, he would have just said that at the start. Secondly, just because I wouldn't want to risk him going around like and spreading stories about me or make up shit or get like get like volatile. And we said this in the last episode with Sonia, I just don't feel safe to really defend myself that much against it. I'd rather just go, it's so awful, but you know, sometimes when you date someone and they're a bit like, and then he was a liar, he wasn't crazy, but you never know when it's a guy, and I don't want them to like get angry and follow me home and hurt 100%. me. I'm so weak, I can barely breathe into this.
You're not working out enough. There's a lot of things we need to fix right now.
I can't
dude, you wanted to protect yourself. I mean, you did all of the right stuff. In this situation,
it's so hard though, it's so hard. And I think it's a way that women are kept from doing stuff like that, because you're just like, I don't want to be told, I don't want to get involved, I don't want to tell them I'm crazy. And it's like, I wish there was like a page where we could just be like, hey, watch out for this guy.
We need it. Oh my God. My therapist like told me there was this website where there was like a list of men that, you know, are like rated as like they that have gone on dates and like women give them ratings. I go on this website and it's like from like 1994 and it's not even active. And I was like, of course, Dr. Jan would send me this.
Yeah, like, that's amazing.
Another reason why you cannot be my therapist anymore. I love you, but you're just like a sweet aunt.
When people hear this though, they get so like, I think some guys get defensive, and it's like, yeah, but I mean, for the most part, you're fine. If you're a nice guy, you're fine.
Oh, you're fine. It's not about you.
We also know if it's like someone writing some shit, we're like, we know. Like if it's, you're fine.
This isn't like ever just talking about all dudes.
Yeah, we
like,
don't even have to write bad stuff. We can just put that we've dated them.
Yeah.
Because I would love to talk to exes sometimes and be like, is this just me, or did you feel he was very possessive as well?
100%. Yeah, you just collaborate a little bit.
Yeah, you guys can do it with the girls too. And then
so funny.
It was funny because with the last episode, we talked a lot about like that fear of murder, and I put up this clip on.
I saw that.
But like, I deleted the comment, a couple of comments, because it was guys getting angry, being like, you know, like calling. Like, you clown, that's not true, or whatever. And it's like, you're getting very defensive. Who have you murdered? But one guy was like, that's, you know, it's so much easier for someone to get laughed at than get murdered. It's a bad, like, saying it's a bad comparison. But I was like, actually, 137 women are murdered a day around the world by a family member or partner.
Yeah.
And that was the UK did that. So that's like around the world. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Don't get defensive.
And like 80% of
we're just speaking the truth.
Women murdered in the UK. It's like,
Jesus. Yeah. Every day?
So 137 around the world. So that's like a big, you know, it's a big world. But still, that's a lot.
Still a lot.
It was something like, I can't actually remember the statistics for the other thing, but it was like 80% of women's deaths in the UK was like murdered by someone they knew. And it's like, that's crazy.
Dude,
that's maybe
insane.
Not deaths, maybe 80% of murders. I should really double check that before.
Yeah, double check the stats.
Well, tell us more about, I'm going to double check this, but tell me more about, so then you, you ended it.
And so he, he ghosted me. I like legit, I was at Athea's place. She was like a godsend at this time because I was like traveling to New York to do shows. This is before I moved. And she just like, I was staying at her place crying at every moment. And I'm not a crier. So when I was just like, this is crazy to me that I'm crying so often. A part of me was happy because I was like, I've been needing to cry. Like, Athea knows this, where I'm like, I just don't cry. And I'm like, I was like, this needs to come out.
Yeah, but that's also a trauma, child trauma response thing.
Not being able to cry.
Yeah, and my therapist is always like, cry. She like basically makes me cry in the
thing. Oh my God, I know I need to cry more. I mean, yeah, so I was, that was a positive that I started to cry more. And like, it was great to have that catharsis, but I couldn't eat for 10 days. It was like terrible. I was just crying constantly. And like, yeah, it was just like, basically we had another comedian who was part of the his community. And we asked her, we're like, can you give us a lowdown on him? What, because I want to know why he ghosted me. I didn't know anything. Then she connected me to the ex-wife, and then the ex-wife told me all this stuff, and I was like, we gotta get revenge. And she was like, okay, what are we doing? And I was like, first of all, he has like all these YouTube videos, our lectures on like Islamic topics, and I was like, fuck that, we're taking all of it down.
Good.
Everything.
Because so, he also uses them to prey on young women.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Like, he wants to be like, I know he's so proud of himself for those videos. I'm sure he checks them every day to be like, yes, this is my gift. I am the one that is this leader giving. So we reached out to every single organization that had those videos up. All of it is taken down. If you go on YouTube, you can't find one lecture from him.
Yeah, good. Because he can't be going so up good. There and specifically using religion that it you cannot doesn't what's the word would frown upon cheating
lying, manipulating, all of these things. I'm like, you're not a Muslim if you're doing those things. You are anti-Muslim. You're not Muslim.
Why is it always, it's the same with priests sometimes. I know there's some good priests, but then there's some priests and you know it's, and it's the people who are always more vocal. That's where they're
them.
You know, I'm a really good person. I'm like, you're a murderer.
Someone's really trying to prove himself. Also, every time I would tell him to come visit me, he would find an excuse not to come to New York and visit me or in Chicago. So he'd be like, I want to be, he was just like, he'd be like, oh, this crazy thing happened at work and the CIA are here and the FBI and like, or not the CIA, but he was just like, there's this crazy situation. Someone stole money and it was like, and then one excuse was like, I couldn't get the vaccine yet and I'm going to get it tomorrow. And I was like, well, I think we should just end it. And he's like, no, I'm going to come in 3 days. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you don't believe me. I was like, no. And then he like did come. And I was like, he did come for.
And you kissed him.
No. We just met and I was just like stunned. I was like, you're a real person. Like, it took me forever to feel okay.
Honestly, I think it's like, in one way, it's a benefit to you that you're slow to kind of like, you know, like have a kiss
or to have any of that. Yeah.
Intimate, because it saved you a lot. You already went through a lot, but it's also nice that you. Didn't yeah
100% it really did. And like, we just got tacos like in Bushwick, and like, I swear, the way this, also now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, you were crazy, because like a normal person would have been like, wow, Sabine, I also can't believe I'm finally seeing you in person. He was acting like he was so chill. He was like, cool, so what are we eating? And I'm like, really, you're not even gonna process how wild this is that you haven't seen me in like 4 months and this is the first time you're in my presence?
Like, and you're having like 4 or 5 hour, 6 hour conversations every day. Like,
this is nothing to you? Like, that's crazy. That was so crazy because I was just in shock and like, he wasn't. And I was like, that's so crazy. And after that, I was like, how do you think everything went? He texted me. He's like, nice. I'm really happy with all of this. And then things just dissipated, everything. And I guess the ex-wife, we talked to his boss, got him like, basically told them what was going on.
This is great. You guys are like bad bitches.
I know. I'm really happy about it.
No, it's amazing. And like, he's specifically targeting Muslim women as well, because you're so vulnerable, because you know, you're more likely, if you're religious, to get to know him before, you know, having any sort of maybe sexual experience or.
And that we were all waiting until marriage and all that stuff with him. So I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, we get each other on every level. But yeah,
but that means he can keep you guys on the hook as well.
He can,
because it's totally normal for you guys to wait longer. And so,
you know, okay, well, you know what's interesting? Sorry to cut you off.
I'm glad you didn't, obviously, as well.
Okay, wait, that I didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad that you had that rules. But also, I feel like he's definitely targeting Muslim women. Yeah,
100%.
Bastard.
I know. I hate this guy. So, what was my thought? This is a thing that bothered me, and I this is where the whole like we need to start believing women thing popped into my head, because I was like, oh, I didn't realize that I wouldn't be like taken seriously, because like I was telling a fellow guy friend about it, guy acquaintance, and I was like telling him this whole story about what happened, and he was just like, I told him how he lied and manipulated me, and he was like, okay, but like, so like, what did he actually do to you? And I was like, I literally was like, never mind.
Sorry, you took my time. He took my six time. Hours.
Promised me like a future, kids, a family.
Investing yourself to save yourself for this man.
Yeah, and then telling me that he was going to move to New York. We're going to live together. We're going to get married. Like, yeah, building a future with someone. A lot of guys, I mean, not a lot of guys, I'm not going to say that, but like this guy in particular showed me that like some men really don't see that emotional manipulation is like abuse.
And it is abuse. And
it's like,
it's becoming into more states here in America that it's going to be that legal, that emotional abuse will come under domestic violence. And it really it should because, it can be emotional terrorism, what they do.
What this guy did, it was that. Because as a girl who cannot, like, I shut down emotionally to, like, have, like, dude, he traumatized me. It was like a year of I couldn't date anyone. I was just like broken.
Yeah, you can like, never, you can't trust people.
Yeah.
And you know, and he did cheat as well. You know, you
cheated too.
Promised to each other to be exclusive. And also you shouldn't have to explain that to anyone else. It's so annoying.
The fact that I had to, I was just like, are you kidding me? Did you not hear anything I said? Mm-hmm. Would it be easier for you to process this if there were like bruises on my body? Like that's messed up.
Oh, I know. It's fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
But that's why emotional abuse is such a useful tool for abusers, because they can
great tool for them.
And a lot of women will experience an emotional abuse, and you know, and men too in certain relationships as well, of course. But if emotional abuse and financial abuse, so what they'll do is they'll get you to stop going to a job, be like the main income provider, then all of a sudden like you're waiting for money from them, and it becomes then a financial abuse.
Dude, that was shown so well in that show Made on Netflix.
I know, that was
financial
of.
Abuse. Boom. That was it. They showed it perfectly.
And emotional, not hitting her, but hitting the side of the wall beside you. Like I dated a guy who, that Irish guy, I told him I didn't like rough sex, but he would like punch me during sex and like,
Jesus.
I know. He would punch me in the iris, which people laugh at, which is really why is it such a funny specific form of abuse? But you know, every time he was doing it, he was like getting his anger out, and then he would just say, oh, I just got caught up in the moment, but he was like really aggressive and I said I didn't like it, and it was a really strange, oh my god, but yeah, and
it's
then
really strange. Yeah,
and then like, you know, to terrorize people, and then you can just be like, no, I didn't say that, no, I didn't do that. Or like, you know, another abuse thing as well, something I experienced was like not letting someone sleep properly at night, and it's a great way to control them. Well, I'm sure there's partners who are toxic and abusive, and they want to control you, so they'll stop you from sleeping or like keep the music loud and
just to keep you tired.
I've read up about it since. You have to be so like, and then it's really hard to be like, well, I don't know, he kept the music loud. You know, this it's so hard to explain to people, so you're so right.
And then also I thought this was funny, but like I sent, because I didn't know if his mom realized that he was telling people that she has cancer. Yeah. So I sent her a gift basket. I think I told you about that.
Oh, this is amazing.
And I sent it anonymously.
You're like, you try to fucking emotionally abuse me, bitch.
Watch this. Yeah. And I wish to God that I could like be at his house to see his face when he saw that, because I'm sure he probably took it and like threw it away or something, or like
maybe
she saw it. I hope. Oh, and I just said, dear Mona, I think that's his mom's name, and I was like, dear Mona, I'm one of the victims of your son Osama Issa, and I have no problem saying his name because he's outed, and I just wanted to say he's been telling everyone that you have cancer, so if you do, I really hope you heal, and yeah, I just wanted to let you know that. And then I said, you know, well, I'm a victim of Osama. Like, that's literally, I just kept it short and sweet. Like, this is what's being said about you. He's got victims. Like, it was, I just wanted her to know these are the things.
And it's good to go straight to the woman. It's like in that show, Love is Blind 2. I just pick like
love,
trash
love
me too. But when the mother said to, what's the son's name? Shaq?
Oh, God, I love that part. Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, she deserves much better than you.
Yes.
And
she was like, she could go the way she is right now to any man, and he would take her fully as what she is. And he was like, okay.
And she was like, she deserves that. And she was like, pretty much like, don't do it. Yeah, she was great. So you gotta go to the mother.
Yeah.
I think as well, what you said about believe women is so true, because that was another thing as well. I just figured that that girlfriend wouldn't believe me. And I've had it in so many situations where there was a person I knew once who was told and then didn't believe it, and then it turns out it was correct. And but this guy just was such a manipulator.
Ugh.
And then I read on Reddit about this guy who his girlfriend's ex reached out to him and said she's a scam artist. She's like, watch out for her. And he was like, whatever, it's obviously just a crazy ex. Dated her for 2 years and she totally fucking scammed him and was cheating on him.
And then he
was in Reddit saying that now I'm in the situation where, do I tell? I'm after seeing she's engaged to someone else. Do I tell? And like, I mean, she robbed money from his bank. Awful. But so I know I said believe women, but also they didn't believe people. Believe people. But then the believe women thing as well. So I realized as I was saying that, I was like, well, also, yeah, believe this guy, because this guy. So yeah, just believe people. I think it's hard when you're in love and you're blind. You're blinded by it.
Yeah.
I think what's really important is if you do hear something, you're like, okay, they're an ex, and they might be a crazy ex, but like, then go like research a bit, go talk to their friends, get to the source.
Figure
like
that's it out. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. I'm so happy I like reached out to his ex-wife. Yeah. I was like, if I didn't talk to her, well, she wanted to talk to me actually, but it's just like, if she didn't talk to me, like, I would not have gotten any closure on this.
No, she's
Which,
to circle back to the whole Bridgerton thing again, it's showing like passion and like that you need this passion, you need to be soulmates. Nah, that's gonna fucking die in a year. You need to pick someone. And my aunt said this to me once, she's my step aunt, but she said, find someone that you like, that you'll like when you don't love, because love will come and go and passion will come and go, but you gotta make sure you always like them, so that when you 100%. Hate them, you're like, well, this is a good guy and I gotta get through this, because that's the success to a long-term relationship, because you're gonna fade in and fade out with because you're gonna have, if you're together the whole time, you're gonna have times where you're fucking tired, or you know, you're having your own issue, maybe your own body image issues because of something, so you just can't really, the passion dies for a bit. You need to go on a holiday or role play, but you need to be like, well, I like this person enough to do that and not just walk away.
Totally. Oh my God, that's great advice from your stepmom. She's a wise lady.
Well, this was her sister, but yeah, they're both really wise. Okay, the scope of it says, in 2021 nationwide, where is this nation though? 17
the statistic.
1800 females were murdered by males in single victim, single offenders in 2019. So
180,000?
1,795, so 1800. And that is in, where are you? it doesn't, in America, so.
Oh my God.
That's a lot, right?
In a year?
In a year.
That's a lot. That's a lot in a year. Huge number in America. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it has like the states here as well.
Oh my God.
Tennessee, 60. That makes sense.
My sister's mom is from Tennessee. My half sisters. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, geez. 9 out of 10 victims, 91% knew their offenders.
That's the scariest part about it, is how it's always someone you know.
62% were wives.
Dude.
10 times as many females were murdered by a male they knew and were killed by male stranglers. Black women are disproportionately impacted by lethal domestic violence.
That's terrible.
Just a high rate of murder, firearms. The number of females shot and killed by their husbands or intimate acquaintance was more than 3.5 times the total murdered by male strangers.
And see, that's why...
I meant to say earlier, not stranglers.
Stranglers? Oh my gosh.
Such as it is over.
This is wild. And this is why we have to protect ourselves from certain men. And like, that's why your instinct was like, let me just like get out of this peacefully. Because you don't want to run the risk of that.
They took my pepper spray away from me at Sigrid last night. And I was like, Leland was like, has Sigrid, this is like a famous musician, been pepper sprayed before? I've gotten that through international airport. I've had it for like 7 years.
That's crazy.
And then they took it from me last night, and it's so annoying because now I don't feel safe on the streets.
They took it. Oh, they should have given it back. Couldn't they have, like...
Oh, okay. Sucks. I got it. 47,000 women and girls worldwide were killed by intimate partners or other family members in 2020. So in 2020... nearly 50,000 global.
Yeah, that's a crazy number.
This means on average a woman or a girl is killed by someone in their own family every 11 minutes. So in the space of us doing this podcast, I can't even do the maths, but at least 7 women have been killed just by their intimate, by someone intimate.
Yeah, I believe it. Dude, it's crazy. It's so crazy. I hope things like the numbers in 2022 and the next few years change a little bit.
Me too. We should round this up, but you said, mentioned a book earlier, and maybe I'll read it because I definitely want to cover it. What was it called?
It's called, it's called All About Love by Bell Hooks. And I had some really interesting comments on it. Like, I posted about it on Instagram and I was like, thanks, Meg, for the rec. And one friend was like, love this book. It was amazing. Another friend is like, I want to talk about it with you. This like was life changing. I was like, okay, cool. Another friend was like, this ruined my life.
Yeah.
And I couldn't read it because I was bawling in a coffee shop, and this showed me that like if I were to live according to this book and how love is, then my life was incorrect or something. Like, she was just saying how it just didn't vibe with where she was at in her life at
Well, what is the gist of it?
Well, right now I'm on chapter 1 and all I've gotten
You're right, I should watch out for that cup. I just whacked my head. Oh my god, that is the funniest. You were talking about it as if you were like blew through it, you've read the 300 pages, you're like, yes, it's really changed my life, it really is. Yeah, I know
they changed their lives,
but I'm just on chapter
one. I'm really good at selling things, honestly. Like, I am a great saleswoman.
I read the first
haven't
paragraph.
Even read it. No, the first chapter is just talking about how society lacks love. Like, we're not pushed to pursue love, and love is like, no, it doesn't. You know, we're pushed to do all these other things, but like, love is not something that you're supposed to really pay attention to or use. That's what it was saying in the first chapter.
All I want is love.
I
want stand up too, but like, love is before that. Also, 100%. I want to read that book because I want to do an episode about that and then this other article. But also, thirdly, I wonder as well if we're not really taught the definition of love and why.
Yeah,
so I think that's why we fall into the tropes of, again, the Bridgerton style, the passion, the drama, and like, when you're looking for love there, you know, it's confusing between your family love versus your friendship love versus what is love in a partner and what should your expectations be as
right.
Well,
there's one part in the book that did kind of define it in the first chapter where it was like
there's one part in the book, you know, on page 1 in the first 2 sentences,
the first word. I can't, it just said, I was really gonna try to be serious, like, and you like totally ruined it. I was like, I'm gonna just come off so smart right now. But like, it was saying how love is it was defining love in a partner as when you are ready to support your partner in their spiritual growth amongst already, like, you know, caring for them and like being loyal to them and like doing other things for them. Like, once you're more involved in their spiritual journey, that's kind of what love is. That was like one part of it.
That's great. I like that. When someone.
What?
I was just still laughing at what you said before, so I've kind of missed what you said. But I heard you say spiritual journey, and I feel like
when
that
you
was
support. And if you're in love with someone, you're down to support their spiritual journey.
Yeah.
That's what it was mostly saying.
I'm down to support Leland's.
Exactly.
That was
an interesting way to define it.
It was funny. We were talking about, if, you know, having kids one day, and I was like, the worst thing could happen if I got pregnant now. And I was like, we just would never afford it. Like, not both of us wouldn't be able to do comedy. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I know. No, I said we would really struggle with comedy. He said both of us wouldn't be able to do comedy. And I was like, I wouldn't quit. And he was like, no, I know I would have to quit. And I was like,
oh,
yes. It's okay, we're not getting pregnant.
Ouch, but good for you. Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's so funny though. But you'd be fine.
But then I said to him, he was like, yeah, because you're more successful right now. And I was like, still, if we get by accidentally pregnant in a year and you've just blown up, I'm still not quitting. I'm not sacrificing. Yeah. No,
good.
I'll bring that heavy pregnant belly.
Dude.
And then I'll bring that baby on stage.
Dude,
and then
everything's doable. There's this thing in my religion that I really like where it says, like, when you have a baby, like, God will bless you with support for that baby. So, like,
oh my god, God missed my parents.
I know. It's like, yeah, I guess really? Some okay. people miss the boat.
I knew we should have been Muslim.
I know. See, you would have gotten that support.
Yeah.
So I'm
that
always
just
like,
shows the Catholic religion, isn't it?
Boom.
And where can people follow you?
I'm mostly active on Instagram at Sabine Comedy. And on
TikTok.
Oh,
and it just went at the end, so that's fine. So for listeners, sorry, the video
done.
Just
timed out.
Yeah, I think my phone
that's okay.
Ran out of memory, but that's perfect.
Oh, and then it's Sabine-Sadiq4, I think, on TikTok.
On TikTok?
I know, I'm trying to be better about it. You keep telling me to post more, yes. But I won't.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.